Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of A Podcast Named Tim, our first episode of 2021, officially, and we're off with a bang. We're a father and son movie review podcast. Each week we discuss three movies. This week it is going to be Soul, We Can Be Heroes, and Wonder Woman 1984. So three brand spanking new movies, so there will be spoilers and discussions. We're available everywhere podcasts are. Please leave a rating and review on whatever podcast app you listen to us on. And we're on YouTube, where we talk about Power Rangers, movies, Star Wars, etc. I am Zach. Oh, also, you should hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram for social media. I'm Zach. Dad, how are you this evening, sir?
I think I'm awake.
Yeah.
Past my bedtime. Yeah, I'm doing fantastic. Of course, it's the second day, I guess, of this new year. And from everything I read, they have they flipped the government. They have turned off the pandemic switch. They've sent us all fortunes, and the sky has rainbows and unicorns, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful time.
And in sad news. I don't know if I told you this. I think I messaged you about it earlier. Netflix is removing basically all of their Power Rangers seasons.
Well, we may have to figure out how to become the one-stop shop source.
That's right.
Anything Power Rangers.
They are keeping Mighty Morphin, Ninja Steel, and Beast Morphers. Ninja Steel was the one right before Beast Morphers. So they're keeping the two most recent and then, you know, the Mac Daddy.
What started it all?
Yeah. So that should not impact our reviews because we're still halfway through season one of three of Power Rangers. So,
hey, where's the new one? Where's Dino Fury going to be shown?
It is going to be on Nickelodeon. They have the distribution rights or the whatever broadcasting rights. I don't think they have a date. But it looks like in years past, it's typically been late February, early March.
So, like, is this a Saturday morning show? Is this okay? Mm-hmm. I thought that's what I had heard in the past. And I know it used to be. I just didn't know if that's the format they still kept.
Yeah, I believe it is. Yeah, Saturdays at 8 o'clock.
Cool. And this is all original. This doesn't have any tie over to the Japanese show?
I think this is going to be the last one that does.
This will be the last one.
Okay. Yes, is my understanding.
Gotcha. Well, hopefully this will go more than a season. I'd like them to get one that'll do more than two seasons. Maybe they can actually have some stories finally.
Yeah, I would hope so as well. And we're, like I said, on our YouTube channel, we're doing Mighty Morphin and Beast Morph reviews, making our way through that. So check us out there if you want to hear some Power Ranger content. But other than that, like I said, we got some good movies coming up here. Anything else you've been watching or you want to highlight before we get into it?
I've been spending most of my time playing this stupid-ass 80s Mania return booking game that I think I've dropped about $200 on now.
Good God.
Merry Christmas.
Good thing you got that stimulus check.
Yes, thank you, government, for paying for my new wrestlers. I never buy anything for games. The minute it gets to where you can't do anything, and I'm not saying you can't, it's not to that point. I seem to be addicted to trying to get the cards for the wrestlers that I like. I mean, they're not real, of course. Mm-hmm, like Ric Flair, it's the Jet Setter, but it looks just like him, and it's got all of so. And you try to figure out who the tag teams are. You need a shave. you need to figure out who the tag teams are to put them together, because then you get a special card with those tag teams having a name. So for some reason I got kind of addicted to, you have to buy tokens. With those tokens, you buy cards and special venues and special matches, you know, hair matches, and they got a coal miner's glove on a pole.
Nice.
Yeah, it's got all kinds of stuff. So.
Well, we are at my annual dilemma that I come up to every year.
Lawyer up or not lawyer up?
Always lawyer up, baby. The annual dilemma is in early January. Do I stay up to the wee hours of the morning and buy Wrestle Kingdom to watch New Japan's version of Mania?
Nah.
I might this year. We'll see. It's why? On.
Why in this camera shot does my head look like Dusty Rhodes or Abdullah the Butcher? Look at all these lines right here, like I bladed. Like a...
See, unfortunately, you all get this on for you listening on audio. You're not seeing all this.
This is Abdullah the Butcher right here.
You came on hard times.
It's so hard, Daddy.
Well, I am wrapping up. I got about 45 minutes left of my Thrawn Chaos Ascending book, and then we'll have a review on the YouTube channel for that. Been playing a lot of board games. Everdell, which you purchased for me for Christmas. Thank you. It's a lot of fun. It's beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful game. All the little bits and pieces that come with the game are just high quality, and it's fun, and it's a good...
I wish I had whatever it takes to come play one of those with you. I just know that I don't. I have to have an end game that, you know, like a 20-minute match is about all I can do. I'm in for the short haul. I am not an Iron Man match guy.
No. Yeah, these games last about 40 minutes.
Well, not 40 I might be able to come up with.
Yeah.
But it has to be like a single. I can't be dealing with all this different levels and stuff. I just need to go straight like life. I need to roll to spin the thing, have my kids, pay the bill, get to the end and be the tycoon and win. That's it.
I will find Carsicon's probably the closest thing to that. It's just an easy.
I'll stick to cards.
That's fine. Well, that's the thing about Everdell. It's kind of a card game.
Yeah.
Because you're just trying to collect three of these cards so you can get that card. Essentially, but they're just doing it on a board. So it's not.
Thank you, MC Doing Chung. He just said he liked our Power Ranger videos.
So, oh, getting alerts during the show.
Yeah, yes, I am.
We're like official.
Big league now, right? And I did watch Revolution of the Daleks last night.
And your thoughts?
I'm not going to get into it now. This probably needs to be a separate show, and I need to think about it more.
Okay.
If I told you right now, I'd say it sucked.
Okay.
But there's some good parts to it, and I'm trying to get to those. Your wife watched Sex and the City, didn't she? Or Sex and the City?
I have no clue.
Well, the bad guy is Mr. Big.
Okay.
So if she knows who that is.
I do not. I does not know.
Well, yeah. So yeah. I mean, it's Daleks. How can you mess up Daleks?
You can't, because those are normally the best episodes.
Well, I disagree with that. They're usually your go-to. They're not the best episodes. Come on, Weeping Angels, Cyborgs, the Silent
Cybermen, yeah,
the Library, the Quiet. Come on, there's a million other good things. It's a really good cosplay things in it. I have a feeling you're going to be seeing a lot of people in her prison uniform.
Because
it was made for cosplay.
Oh, yeah.
Very simple and, yeah, easy to make. And
well, you know, they sometimes... Look, business
Captain
is
Jack was back.
Good.
He was fantastic in it. You had some cameos from the Weeping Angels and the Ood and the Silence. And,
oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. I'll talk to you later about it.
Okay. Well, we're going to go ahead and hop into these movies. First one is going to be Soul. Again, these are going to be full-on spoiler discussion stuff. So if you haven't watched them, subscribe. Hit a little reminder for yourself on your calendar and then come back and watch it after you've seen these movies. But we're going to start off with Soul. Before we do that, we're going to take a quick moment to pause because we got some bills to pay. So, Soul came out in 2020, PG rating, 1 hour and 40-minute runtime. It has an 8.2 on the IMDb score, a 95 on the tomato meter, and 89 on the audience score. It is, of course, the latest and greatest from Pixar and Disney, which is normally a match made in heaven for high quality animation and films. Directed and written by Pete Docter. You will know him from his work on Inside Out, Monsters, Inc., WALL-E, Up. So a lot of Pixar work there. Stars Jamie Foxx and Tina Fey and Graham Norton, which was I was not expecting to see in this film. It tells the story of a musician who is he wanted to make in the big leagues of the soul business, but he is teaching high school band, and before he gets his big break, he dies, and we go on a search for, I guess, the meaning of life in some respects. What did you think of Soul?
Well, it took me about 15 hours to find where it was, because you didn't tell me it was Disney, and I kept typing in S-O-L-E and kept seeing all these feet videos, and I didn't. So finally, I typed in the right thing, and I I went on to Disney, and there it was, right on the banner.
Yeah.
And it took me another 3 times to watch it because I kept falling asleep.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the deal. I watched this with the kids and the wife.
Okay.
Middle of the day.
Okay.
Let me give you the thing. I don't like, first of all, I don't like jazz.
So okay.
I don't care about that part of it. I love Jamie Foxx.
Mm-hmm.
I was very happy. If they had just kept it in the real world and made it like him trying to, you know, make his way and maybe save somebody, and that whole realm thing, just I hated it. I hated the look of it. I didn't care about it. I didn't care about the person he was trying to save. Just, I didn't like the movie.
Wow.
Amy didn't like the movie.
Okay.
Couldn't get the kids to watch the movie. Every time I said, look, it's cartoons. They was like, I don't know these people. This ain't Monsters, Inc. I didn't care for it at all.
I enjoyed it. I think there are better Pixar movies, certainly. I've never seen Inside Out. That's the only one of the Pixar movies I've not seen. Of all of the other Disney Pixar movies, it might be the worst, but I don't mean that in a bad way. I still really enjoyed it. I like the idea of the concept that they were going to. I love the art in it. I thought the aesthetics of the movie were beautiful and unique.
You're talking about in the real world or that?
Both.
Oh, God. Those neon line people?
They were cool. I thought it was a cool look. Ugh. And it was different. And I liked that it was more of an adult movie.
Yeah, but different to be a different, just to be different is not good.
I didn't think it was just different just to be different.
Jerry did that in Inside Out, so you didn't see Inside Out. Inside Out kind of was different.
Yeah.
And it had some parts that were a little like this, too. They were a little like, see, this is not, I don't know. This isn't Disney and Pixar to me.
You didn't like the whole cool idea of the lost souls and them doing the little pirate ship thing? And
well, I don't believe there is souls, so that hurts. That made me hurt part of the problem. You know, dead is dead, but but I can go with that if it's well done. As soon as when he was heading there on the escalator, I was with it. I was like, okay, he's dying. He's gonna get up to heaven, I guess. And he's gonna have to. And then when I started realizing, well, maybe he was gonna have to try to fight his way back and then have some redemption. All that, I'm fine with all that. It's just when we got in there and I saw those little people that looked like little, like I said, bit neon lights and talked. I just couldn't deal with it. Shut me off. And then they kept going back and forth and throwing a little, that pirate fell. It was all stupid.
Interesting. I thought this movie had a lot to say.
And he kept looking over me like, what is this? And I was like, it's the next big thing, apparently. And she finally just said, this is horrible, and just went to sleep. She said, tell me why.
I like the joke that all of them were Jerry. That was funny.
Really?
I don't know. I enjoyed it. I will say this is the of the Pixar movies, this like lacks the most humor. It's like a more serious like movie in some respects.
The man died.
Well, I guess Up is probably the most serious movie, but that That's really good. But yeah,
it's good. It was animated and not weird stick people.
I thought it was beautiful. Did you like the real world? You thought that looked good?
The real world looked nice, and I liked the characters, and I liked the beginning story. What was it, like 40 minutes before the opening credits?
Oh, I don't know. It was a while.
What was that about? Holy mackerel. So that was kind of weird. Yeah, I didn't mind the setup. It was a little slow, and I was like, okay, this is going to build somewhere. But then I love cats. That whole thing was switching with the cat. That was gimmicky.
That was a little gimmicky, but my only big issue with the movie was the end. Because
you have to remind me.
So at the end of the movie, he lets 22, Tina Fey's character, go into his body he's gonna let her go to life and take the badge, the little badge you need to get down to heaven or to earth.
Gotcha.
And I was like, oh, okay, cool. This character has accepted that he has died. It's a movie about grief, and he's accepted it, and now he's gonna either go to heaven or the great beyond, as they called it, or he's gonna become like a permanent mentor, and he'll be there to mentor other people. I was like, cool, that's a great idea. But then they were like, oh, well, you were good and you did a good thing, so you can go back too. And I didn't like that no consequence Disney bullshit. It's just like the end of Frozen 2. I know what you're talking about.
That's horrible.
I like it. I like the mixing of 2D and 3D. But yeah, that was my biggest concern of it my only big issue was that aspect of it. Because like I said, in Frozen 2, you know, they make that big decision at the end of the movie where Arendelle has to be wiped out with the water. And you're like, oh, they made a big decision. And they're making choices, and choices have consequences. And nope, they saved it. Same thing for this movie. I wanted him to accept his death, be at peace with it, and that's it. But, you know, I guess you got to send people home happy. I am very surprised you do not like that movie.
No, I didn't like it at all. There was nothing. I would never watch. I will not watch this movie again. This
you didn't like the joke about all Tina Fey's view on life of how it sucks?
No, not really. Okay. I don't know. I
don't
like it.
Okay. Who
did you watch it with?
Watched it with the wife and Samantha. She did, again, 4-year-old kid. For everyone listening, about halfway through the movie, she was like, all right, let's turn it. She walked over and pressed the button to pause it and turn it off to go do something else.
You got her halfway through?
I got her halfway through. Yeah. And then me and Alice finished it. So
the wife liked it?
Yeah, she liked it. I think she likes Soul. I think she likes Soul. Yeah. Yeah, she likes Soul. Yeah.
Yeah. Amy said it sucked.
She agrees with me. She would have liked a better ending.
I would have liked a better middle.
Beginning and end.
I was just very disappointed. I felt like this was could have been a better live action movie without all that other stupid stuff and just had this. I don't know. I don't like it. Let's move on. It was dumb.
Okay. Well, we will move on. our next movie, which is on Netflix currently, again, just came out. It is We Can Be Heroes, the spiritual sequel to The Adventures of Sharkboy and Lavagirl. Has a PG rating, 1 hour and 40-minute runtime, a 4.8 on IMDb, which is higher than Sharkboy and Lavagirl, a 71 on the tomato meter, and a 50 on the audience score. It basically written and directed by, of course, one Robert Rodriguez, and stars a lot of different people. We can get into that when we talk about the characters. The, I guess, most notable person was, I don't know how to say her name, Chopra. I don't know.
I never know how to say her name.
Yeah, her. And Pedro Pascal, which our last movie.
Who's that?
Who that? Our last movie of the week will also be featuring Mr. Pedro Pascal. And basically a bunch of kids who are the sons and daughters of superheroes. Their parents get kidnapped and they got to step up to the plate and see if they can take over business. What did you think of this? Was your selection for the week?
We didn't do selections. You just
That's right. I just selected these. So what did you think of We Can Be Heroes?
You mean Spy Kids 3?
Spy Kids 5?
I meant 5. That's what I actually was saying. You know, that's what it reminded me of. It was a mixture of Spy Kids and Sky High. That's what it kind of blended in.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it better than I did Shark Boy and Lava Girl.
I did too.
It was not as slow, and it didn't have all that narration and like weird storytelling that Shark Boy and Lava Girl had. It was more of a straightforward kind of Spy Kids kind of movie. Look, I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it.
I'd watch it again.
I definitely would watch it with the kids. Amy fell asleep. There's a reoccurring thing happening here. It was, again, it was nothing. I like the kids' different powers. Love the slowpoke, the slow kid. Every time he started doing that, I died laughing.
Yes.
Because it was like, that was well thought out. Yes. Whoever came up with that little gimmick, that was gold, Jerry. That was gold.
Yeah, slow-mo was great. It's the best part of the movie.
it was like, okay, there we go. Well, Amy kind of missed a little bit of it. She was like, when she saw it, she laughed. She was like, okay, that's neat. Yeah. And, it was a typical kids movie. But didn't you get a Spy Kids kind of vibe out of it?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. When they're on the alien spaceship towards the end of the movie, and they're going through the hallways, it looks like the exact same set as the whatever that place was called with the thumbs from Spy Kids 1.
I don't know.
The laugh factory, I don't know, whatever it was. Where the Goopas or whatever they are live.
You remember more than I do.
Oh yeah. I really enjoyed it. I knew it was gonna be about the kids, but I wasn't expecting pretty much zero. Not only say no screen time from the adults, but I mean they're just kind of sitting there, waiting to be saved.
It's a shame that Taylor Lautner was so busy he couldn't redo his role.
Yeah, what's he doing these days?
Sitting at home, collecting his werewolf money, I guess.
Probably. I was very I would have liked for him to return. That would have been nice.
Yeah, come on, don't be a jerk. Sorry you did the whole glowy vampire movie, but you can come on back to a good kids movie. But what saved it, because they couldn't get him, Christian Slater's in it.
One movie
that Christian Slater pops in ain't a hit.
That is absolutely correct. And you got Mando. He was good. He was different. It's one of three movies, you have Mandalorian, where he's about him and fatherhood. You have this movie, which is about him and fatherhood. And the next movie is also about his choices in fatherhood. So I guess he's just Mr. Dad. And that's his role.
And my second favorite one besides, and no, not for because he was in a wheelchair, was Wheels.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reason, again, it wasn't because he couldn't walk. It's because his power was so daunting that he couldn't stand on his own. I was like, all right, see, they thought. There was some thought put into this movie.
There was. I like the idea of Wild Card, who had all the powers but couldn't control them.
Right.
Fast forward and rewind, and the fact that they were, balancing each other out. The Facemaker was pretty lame.
I mean, Guppy was okay because of who she was, but
she was funny. Yeah.
Yeah, she was good.
What did you think of the plot twist at the end?
I mean, I don't know if it was necessary. But
you would have just liked them to be actual bad guys, not putting them through a test.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't work it for me, but it didn't. It wasn't that. I didn't need it.
Yeah, it immediately deflated some of the tension, I know was the intention, but.
Yeah, let's make the kids not think that all the parents and people is bad guys. Now let's teach the kids real life. Some kids are just assholes, and some parents are just assholes. That's what it is.
And I guess we forgot to mention also Christopher McDonald as president.
President, yeah, POTUS. It's like, wow, Christopher McDonald's POTUS. Well, that's something.
Yeah, I thought. I think it's better than Sharkboy and Lava Girl. It is better than Spy Kids 3. It ain't Spy Kids 1, obviously. That's top tier. But
it's equal to Spy Kids 2.
Yeah, it's about there.
It's right it's around there. What was driving me crazy the whole thing was that damn song.
We could be heroes.
What is that from? And it took me 2 days. I'm driving in the car by myself, and I went, Moulin Rouge.
Yeah, that's what the wife said when we were watching it.
I was like, that's McGregor sings that in. Oh, yeah, that drove me crazy.
Would you like to see more from the Spy Kids? Not Spy Kids, from the We Could Be Heroes world of heroes.
I would like Netflix to turn into a show.
For the kids?
Yeah.
I would too. Yeah. I would too.
I'd be all right with that. If not, at least let's have a yearly movie for maybe 2 or 3 years. Let's have a yearly movie and do a few more things on it and see what we can do. I agree. And then totally kill it with about the fourth one, and we'll hate all of us after that.
You know, I think in the second one, what they can do is there can be like a magic stone where you can just wish for anything you want. Because that always. let's speaking of that, let's move on to our last movie. Wonder Woman 1984 has a PG-13 rating, 2 hour and 31 minute runtime. I'm going to repeat that. 2 hours and 31 minutes. A 5.5 on IMDb. A 60% on the tomato meter, a 74 from the audience. Written and directed by Patty Jenkins, who took care of the first one, is also going to be bringing us Rogue Squadron, which is the next Star Wars movie coming to theaters in 2023. Stars Gal Gadot, Chris Pine, Kristen Wiig playing Kristen Wiig, and Pedro Pascal. I never saw the first Wonder Woman. I just went in fresh. I figured I didn't need to. I know the idea. So it's more 1984, obviously. Wonder Woman fights Max Lord and the Cheetah. I know Cheetah because Super Friends. I don't know anything about Wonder Woman other than the Super Friends. I've never even seen the 60s or 70s show, whatever.
70s, it was 60s.
I ain't never seen that. So Wonder Woman is an enigma to me in some respects. I know she has a magic lasso and an invisible jet, and she's got the armor, and she can fly. And I got all that in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I got a lot of that in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It is a beautiful, beautiful poster. It's going to be nominated for Poster of the Year, for sure. Can't say the same for the movie. Let me just run through some of my initial thoughts. When we were watching the first scene where we had little Diana, I was getting a lot of the Phantom Menace vibes. I was like, do we need to do this? Does she need to be this young? And when she was going around doing it, the obstacle course, I looked over at the wife and I said, now this is pod racing. Because it was the same.
Well, it was an overcomplicated course, first of all.
It was just unnecessary. All the men in the movie were just complete scumbags. I get you got to have some scummy men so they can, you know, be powerful. But we don't need every single man in the movie to be scumbags. I did enjoy Pedro Pascal, and I enjoyed his character, and I enjoyed his acting. Even though it was a little over the top, I enjoyed it. And I liked that even though it was the stupid ass, you can wish for everything movie, I liked the fact that he made himself the item. That was an interesting dynamic. But we're good.
You're driving me crazy.
Go ahead.
No, listen.
Yes.
The movie was 2 hours and 30 minutes. I'm going to do a 4 hour review. You ready?
Yes.
First, let's say the first one was a good movie. The first one was a good movie. The Justice League movie, Wonder Woman, was one of the few things in it that was decent.
Okay.
This movie sucks so bad. I watched it with Alex and Amy, and they are probably hating me still for this because I talked them into it. I was like, look, it's going to be Wonder Woman in the 80s, so we're going to have her cool red and yellow and white and her patriotic gear. Anyway, nothing was right. I watched the first scene of this 3 days before it came out. HBO put up the little thing where you can, hey, watch the first scene. So I was like, all right, cool. I got a little scared then because I thought that the graphics, the CGI looked kind of weird. Mm-hmm. When they were swinging, I was like, didn't this movie cost like $200 million or something to make? Oh, they didn't use it all. Okay, maybe it's a rough, maybe this was before they cleaned it up and they just stuck it out there because they had it and whatever. So I went on about my business, waited, watched the movie. That opening scene, too much. Way too much.
Mm-hmm.
Just so we can do some silly, oh, blah, blah, don't take the shortcut, blah, 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 blah. Well, okay, whatever. We can learn that some other way without 40 minutes of the movie.
Yes.
They did. See, these are all out of order because I got so many in my head. They did the whole mess that why people keep doing, I don't understand. Why does she have powers now that she doesn't have later? She didn't have the power in the 30s. She didn't have the power in the 2050 or whatever it was, but she had it in 84. First of all, Wonder Woman cannot fly. Wonder Woman never was able to fly.
She flew in the Justice League.
She could leap. She could fly in her jet. That's why she had a jet, because she couldn't fly anywhere else. When all the other people were flying where they needed to go, she was in her jet next to them. She can't fly.
I think she flew in the animated
DC. Okay. Cartoons, read your DC comics. Wonder Woman can't fly. That and that gold suit, what was the purpose of that? It did nothing for her.
It looked cool.
It didn't, well, okay. It was horrible. It didn't add anything. Kristen Wiig was completely horrible. That is, they did the same thing to Manta in that movie. They have Cheetah, one of her biggest people. She did nothing. She was barely in it. She didn't look like Cheetah. She was just some crazy woman that made some kind of wish on some crystal dildo tower. What in the world was that thing? That was stupid looking. That thing you just said, that it was cool that he made himself. No, that is the same as wishing for more wishes. That's Disney on the wishing for more wishes.
I know, and that's why I liked it.
There needs to be something to that. You cannot wish that you are the wish giver so that you can keep... No, that's the same thing. That's stupid.
Well,
bringing back Steve Trevor was the dumbest thing this movie did. That was completely stupid. And it was done just so that she could have something that she had to give up at the end. Blah, blah, blah. That was dumb. Who cared? What, he's just been wandering around for all these years with a watch and then finally decided to show up now? That made no sense. And, of course, he looked like someone else, but so that we didn't get confused and Chris Pine could get a paycheck, we get to see him the way she thinks that he's supposed to look, which was not the way it was. Her powers were ridiculous. She got wind? He made up some wind and it blew her back? She took a headbutt from Superman in the Justice League movie and didn't flinch. Are you telling me a little wind blew her back?
He's got the whole life force of the whole planet.
Dude, there are so many problems in this movie. I really could go. I could sit here forever. I wish I'd written them down, but I didn't have enough paper and pen to write this stuff down. This was terrible.
It was not good. It was.
No, it wasn't not. No. You can't say it was not good. It was terrible.
I wasn't as offended by it as most people are.
No, because you didn't see the first one.
That's right.
So you're not understanding that they actually pulled out a decent movie the first time.
Yeah. I actually watched, I did something I normally don't do. I actually went and watched a bunch of spoiler reviews before I saw the movie. And so I knew what I was getting myself into. Because I saw one of the guys I watch, Angry Joe, huge DC Comics mark. Superman's his guy, Wonder Woman, Batman. Those are his, he likes to, you know, the three, those are his people. And he loved the first movie and he did like a 40 minute, just this movie fucking sucks. And here's why, line by line. And so I think by the time I had seen it, I kind of already knew. And so I was less let down.
What was up with this really bad comic effects in the mall?
Why did the whole movie look ugly?
the movie did look bad. I thought the movie looked bad. I mean, I guess they were trying to make it 80s looking. They failed. It wasn't bright, and because they didn't make that kind of movie. They didn't make a Diana Prince, Linda Carter 70s show on CBS. Mm-hmm. That show was campy. They didn't make that. They decided they wanted to make a serious one. But then they shoot it with campy colors. The whole her dressing that him up in 80s clothes, I was ready to stab the writers by that time.
You gotta have
Why did that need to be in there? That was horrible. It wasn't funny. It was stupid.
Can we talk about the fact that Steve Trevor, who was, you know, born and alive during the World War, was it World War I or World War II?
That was World War II he flew in, I think.
Okay. It doesn't matter because fireworks were invented in like 2000 BC by the Chinese. So it's something that's been around for quite some time.
Okay. You think, but he's smart enough to somehow go from flying a regular airplane in World War II to a jet. Fly the same thing.
I was willing to just say, okay, he's super pilot.
And all museums keep their jets in the back with fuel in them. They're completely loaded with fuel.
Didn't you watch Battlefield Earth? They stole a bunch of jets in that as well. From a museum.
And then that desert scene. So they just happen to be driving on one road in Egypt? They just happen to be driving on the same road at the same time that he is. They didn't get to Egypt and then have to do some clever, you know, detective work or something to figure out where he was to intercept him. They're just driving down the road, and there he is. Well, that whole scene was ridiculous because he got nothing out of it. There was nothing. They didn't catch him. They didn't stop him. They didn't even slow him down, really. They did nothing. Nothing, except for she got injured.
Plus she had to come back to America anyway.
That scene had nothing to do with the movie.
Why did we have to have the sea level movie plot of, hey, there's one guy who knows about this and we're going to introduce him for one scene so he can tell us about this?
Exactly. Because they probably figured nobody's going to know what's going on. I mean, nobody else knew what the crystal dildo was.
I have a serious Wonder Woman question, though.
Okay.
If I'm being for real about this.
Okay.
I understand they live for a long time.
Okay.
At the Amazon or whatever it's called, wherever they live. Right. It's all women, right?
Well, it's all women that you can see. The men are kept in the back as slaves and to procreate.
That was my question at the beginning of the movie. I was like, how do they make more?
They got turkey basters.
Okay. I just was like, I don't understand what's happening right now. How does the society
function? That's the first thing Amy said to him. He said, what do they do? Kill off the men children if they're born? Might not be a bad idea, but.
I just was wondering.
Yeah, they have slaves elsewhere. That arena is not where they live.
Well, I know that, but I just
men
didn't know.
Men folk are not allowed to be there.
I just didn't know how society continued.
Yeah, she had a lot of I don't know. Oh, and then all of a sudden, we've gone through how long she's been around. She's been here for like 50 years and done things. And all of a sudden, she's flying a jet and remembers, I can make things invisible.
One time I did it to a coffee cup.
What is that? It was horrible.
Why did everyone get rid of their wishes at the end of the movie?
Because that really bad acted, heartfelt speech. That was horrible. Her acting in that scene where she was trying to deliver that heartfelt plea to people, that was horrible. I guess people are just good inside.
If you wish for something and I wish for something and those wishes conflicted and we made it at the same time, what would happen?
I don't know. You'll have to get your hands on the crystal dildo. We'll have to find out.
One last crystal dildo question, as you keep putting it. Did no one in the world make a nice wish?
No. And the president, what do you wish for? Hey, how about peace on earth? How about they don't attack us? How about they don't have ill will for us anymore? More nukes.
Yeah. No one wished for, like, you know, a dying relative to come back or not be sick.
Exactly. The first thing he says is more nukes. All he had to do was say, how about we live in peace? The whole world live in peace. Done. Done. And he had to be an asshole and want more nukes. So, yeah, that was just... Dude, this was horrendous.
Did the people who did make the nice wishes also have to give those up?
Apparently, yeah. Yeah, little Jimmy dropped dead.
That's good. This is why you don't open up the time. You don't do timeline, you know, time travel movies, and you definitely don't do wishing movies, because you're opening up a can of worms.
There's too many plot holes to fill when you do them, and you have to have a well-established plot and stick with some kind of rules. You can do those kind of movies even if the rules don't fit. They have to fit in all your movies, and they have to stay constant.
This is why Back to the Future and Back to the Future 2 are the best time travel movies.
I mean, they're definitely well done, because they do.
They have rules.
Yeah.
They follow them.
Right.
The only thing I would say, the reason why I really like the idea of him becoming the wishing stone, because it, like you said, it's the one thing that everyone would say is just, you want more wishes. Plus, it saved us from having the stupid moment where the two of them would have to try and grab the item. Because he is the item now.
Right.
And you can't. What are you going to do?
Right.
So I liked that we avoided that. And just, it was an interesting concept where he could specifically take something from someone. But it opened up its own issues. Because when he was having health issues, I was like, just have someone wish for more health or take someone's health or something.
Yeah, exactly. Be healthy. Done.
Yeah. But I enjoyed that they... The bad idea that is the wishing whatever monkey's paw, I'm glad that they did that one unique little spin on it. And I actually did enjoy Pedro Pascal in this. I thought he handed up in a good way.
Yeah, he was okay. The female Seth Rogen. Oh, my God. Or female Vince Vaughn or whoever. She's playing the part. She plays the same thing in every movie now.
Kristen Wiig?
She was the horrible choice for Cheetah. And why they even stuck to you? Just wait till the second movie. Stop trying to have two enemies in these movies if you can't give them equal time or at least have a reason for them. I guess she was supposed to be his backup. Look, he knew where the thing was. He didn't even have to ever meet her romancer, break in and get it.
Yeah, you didn't need Cheetah for this at all. He was a good enough villain on his own.
And I don't know if he's a real villain or not. I don't.
My understanding, he is.
Okay.
But
I don't know if that's what he did or what. But Cheetah, you know, Cheetah, it's like Mantha. Same exact thing. As soon as I realized that was going to be, I started thinking, what is this? What? And I got to thinking, and then she started acting like that. I was like, oh, God, please don't tell me she's going to be Cheetah. Because, again, that's the only bad person I know from someone who is Cheetah. Mm-hmm. And then, she started sinking into it. I was like, she is going to be Cheetah, but what is she going to do? She's not adding anything to the movie. The fight was horrendous. It was stupid. The fight was horrible.
Yeah, it was kind of like, I'm going to steal a comment from Angry Joe. He talked about how, you know, obviously the end of Black Panther, Black Panther is a great movie, but that end fight scene where it was just CGI fest was shitty. And it was almost like they were like, people like Black Panther. Let's take the worst part about Black Panther and copy that.
Yeah, it was. This was. I don't. I think now this was screened And they said, you know what? Thank God for COVID. We can stick this on HBO Max, because if this goes in the theaters, we're tanking hard. A lot of people watched it, apparently, but I don't think anybody's going to be watching it a second time.
Look, I have gotten a subscription to HBO Max because of this movie and because of all the other movies coming out. So they got my money.
Well, let's hope that they do better in the next round, because this did not bring them any. This didn't make me happy that movies are going to be going there, because I feel like they're just going to, I don't know, what are they going to do? They're going to cut the budget. If they cut the budget on this thing, what was this thing? Was it like $200 million or something, or $2 billion, I mean?
It was a lot.
It was some crazy, ridiculous amount of money. And I don't see where it went, because the CGI was not great. I certainly don't think any of these actors commanded, you know, like rock money.
Chris Pine played Admiral Kirk, sir.
Well, I realize that. He played Kirk 2.0.
$200 million.
$200 million for this movie? No.
They had to pay Mando. Disney said, I'm sure it's like Disney Star Wars, how a contract with him says, if you ever want to take Pedro Pascal away from making the one thing holding up our subscription service, you have to pay that man.
Yeah, so now he's in the DC universe, the Star Wars universe. He needs to get him a Marvel character now.
Yeah, and he's in. How many other people? I can only think of one other person for sure that's in DC and Marvel, and that's Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, and I don't know, since he hadn't done anything else with.
And technically. DC. Yeah, that was before.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that's it.
I think so. Which, I expect Star Wars and Marvel to have turnover, since it's both Disney.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, this week was not good. It's sad to think that Netflix original sequel from Shark Boy and Lava Girl is the best movie I watched this week. That's kind of depressing in a way.
A little bit. Well, maybe we will do better next week. Next week, we're going to be taking a little journey through the last century.
I'm making it invisible.
The last century, we're going to be doing a little snapshot of a journey through cinematic history. We're going to be doing a movie from...
I need some dramatic music behind this.
Yes. We're going to be traveling through time and space.
Space.
Yeah, it's a movie from 1921, so a movie from 100 years ago. A movie from 1946, so a movie from 75 years ago. And a movie from 1971, so a movie from 50 years ago.
I thought you said I had to pick 1946.
Isn't that what I said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's the three. Gotcha. I thought it was 1 week of 21, 1 week of 46, and 1 week. This is all 1 week.
This is all 1 week, baby.
Okay. So.
You got the 1946? So
why are you getting to pick two, and I'm only getting to pick one? I don't understand how that happened.
Because that's how it always happens.
Oh, all right.
So what are we doing from...
You go first for 21, then I'll go in the middle for 46, and then you can go and get a 70.
All right, I'm flipping between two. I know. I'm flipping between two movies. I'm flipping between two movies.
Well, I'm going to guess one of them's silent, and the other one's probably no talking.
That's correct. I'm gonna go with something less well-known.
Okay.
Because the obvious one from 1921 would be The Kid.
Okay.
Exactly. So we're going to watch The Phantom Carriage, which is on Hulu, apparently, right now. So that is from 1921. So what is happening from 1946?
We're going to see what was all about Bogey and McCall. We're going to watch The Big Sleep.
The Big Sleep.
The Big Sleep, baby.
Okay.
Bogey and McCall. and it's somewhere, but you're probably going to have to pay for it.
So. That's fine, because you're probably going to have to pay for the one I'm about to give you from 1971.
All right, we can only pay one time.
All right.
I'm kidding. I don't care.
I can find something. Away,
I won't be able to get that that Razor Ramon card, but that's all right.
So I struggled with the one for the 70s, for 71, because there were a couple movies that I thought about.
The 70s and they all...
Well, first of all, we've already done a lot of movies from 1971. We've done A Clockwork Orange. We've done THX-1138. We've done...
Suck.
There's a Bruce Lee movie, and I really want to put you a Bruce Lee movie for you. I don't want to do any Bond stuff, because I want to save that for when the Bond movie comes out. We've done the Andromeda Strain.
Suck.
So I went off the beaten path to find
something. Let me do my lane for you. Suck.
So you're going to be watching a movie called Red Sun.
Oh, I hate that movie.
Have you seen it?
No, it's in the 70s, though.
Yeah.
Red Sun
from 1971.
Red Sun. That's S-U-N?
S-U-N. And the tagline says, the greatest fighting machine the West has ever known.
So not the Red Bun. So it's not like one of those ones.
No.
I just typed in the Red Bun while I was saying that. Oh, Charlie Bronson.
Yeah.
All right. Mr. Charlie Bronson.
Yes.
1870. Oh, my Lord. Japanese sword. that guy. The
sure.
Toshiro.
Yes.
Yep. All right. Oh, Ursula Andress is in it. The original Catwoman.
Yeah. So I tried to find something a little different.
Yeah, it's gonna suck.
So, to be honest, I thought about picking The French Connection, but I know it's a movie you've seen. I know it's a movie you've seen.
I know, but it's good.
That was my first
pick. Actually, it's not really that good. It's another one of those overrated rated, 70s movies, but I like Gene Hackman, and it has one of the best car chase scenes ever.
I was going to pick it, but I knew you had seen it, and then I thought about picking Get Carter.
Horrible.
But I figured you had seen it also.
That's not one of Michael Caine's better movies.
I wanted to pick something you hadn't seen.
I've seen Get Carter. I've seen both versions, and actually the Stallone version's better than the Michael Caine version. Hey, did you ever, you know Brewster's Million?
Yes.
So,
great movie.
I thought, when I first pulled up 1946 movies, Brewster's Million was listed. And I was going to give you that, because there is a 1946 version. But it was 1945 when I actually researched it. But here's the thing. There's two other versions of this thing. There's a foreign one, and there's a 1914 Brewster's Million. That movie's been made four times.
That's a little overkill.
And I thought maybe one of them's just named it. No, every one of them had the same kind of thing. The money's usually a little different.
Right.
But yeah, it's all about somebody inheriting a bunch of money and having to spend some first. It's like four times, really? That seems a bit much for... Anyway, I don't know why I brought that up.
Okay. So, it'll be an interesting week.
Mm-hmm.
The Phantom Carriage.
Here's the number one quote from the Red Sun. A Red Sun.
Mm-hmm.
Give me my clothes. Kukora Jubi says, give me my clothes.
That's a great quote right there, if I ever did hear one.
And then the guy says, I'll give you your clothes, but first I want your word of honor that you won't kill Gauchi on sight.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
This is gold.
I did a little research last night for something I was curious, since we have entered into a new decade. Well, I guess we've already been in a new decade, but I don't think we talked about it last year. I wanted to find out what the best movie of the 2010s was. And so I went to IMDb. I typed in movies that had 1 million votes and the highest ratings possible. would you like to guess the 8 movies that have an 8 or above rating and a million votes from 2010s?
There are only the remake of Charlie's Angels.
Absolutely.
Kristen Stewart, can't go wrong there. Wow, I don't even remember any movies in this decade.
Would you like to guess what the number one rated movie of the 2010s was?
I can't even come up. I'm drawing a blank on any movie okay. that was even in this time.
I will give you in order from 8 to 1 the highest rated movies according to IMDb. So
I don't have to do that drum roll thing, do I?
No. Number 8, The Avengers. Number 7, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, jeez.
Number 6, Shutter Island.
Shutter Island? Really?
Mm-hmm. Number 5, The Wolf of Wall Street. Number 4, The Dark Knight Rises, which is the third one. Number 3, Django Unchained. Number 2, Interstellar. And number 1, with an 8.8 rating, Inception.
I've seen every one of those.
Well, what was interesting was it's 1, 2, 3 Nolan movies, 1, 2, 3 DiCaprio movies, and 1, 2, 3 superhero movies, but not always in the same order.
Right. Did you talk to your sister about Inception?
Oh, excuse me. It's actually 4 DiCaprio movies. No, I have not. I did not. I forgot to mention. Talk to her about it.
They liked it.
They did.
But she said, yeah, it was a bit confusing. A little, you know, you had definitely had to pay attention, but they did like it.
Yeah, it's 4 Leonardo DiCaprio movies are in the top 8 films.
All right.
That was all. Just thought that was interesting.
What was the highest grossing one? The Endgame?
I did not check.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah. No worry.
Well, that's all. That's all. All right. We will see you all next week on a podcast named Tim. Goodbye.
Yes, sir.